We're getting back into Jonah. Let's pray as we come to our passage. Lord, we thank you that you've given us this book to speak truth to us. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to hear what your word says today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So where are you today in your walk with the Lord? Are you walking closely, or is it more casual, or from a distance? Are you on fire for God, or are you in a dark place, maybe feeling a little distant, maybe feeling a little forgotten? As we go through our Christian life, we kind of go like this. We kind of go in and out, closer and farther. We hit highs and we hit lows. And here's the thing about that. It's us moving, right? God is fixed. He's constant. In the Psalms, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's us who changes. So whether you're feeling distant or feeling close or feeling on fire or feeling cold or feeling the light or feeling the darkness, he hasn't changed. He is still right there. But when you're in the dark place, it's not always easy to see that or hear that or understand that. I'll share one story with you. I've shared this before. I don't talk about it too often. It's not something I'm proud of. But just looking back 25 years ago, I was arrested for DUI. Spent a night in a jail cell. And I'm not actually sure if I told my kids that yet, so I'm sorry, guys. You found out long ago your dad is not perfect. So that stands for drunk driving, DUI. I'm sorry, I'm having a family moment in the middle of the sermon. I was kind of expecting you guys to be downstairs. But it was in that time, and I was sitting there, and I was just thinking, first of all, I'm thankful I didn't hurt anybody, and I didn't hurt myself. But secondly, I was thinking, what are you doing here? At the time, I was a believer. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. God used that moment to change the trajectory of my life. It was a dark place, and I turned back to him. And guess what? God hangs out in jail cells, right? It doesn't matter where you go. You can't get away from him. God pursues us. You know, I wanted to read to you this morning from Psalm 139. And David writes this. And David did a lot of running from people, sometimes running from God. His life was like yours and mine, up and down. It says this in verse 5, you, meaning God, hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You know, we can't get away from God. You know, a week ago, Brian was on the other side of the planet. Did you encounter God over there? Yeah. How long did it take you to get back? 23 hours to get back. The whole flight, and he landed here, he was still here. Wherever you go, God is there. He's everywhere in the world. And, you know, it's not like the song, God is watching us from a distance. Nope. You can tell Bette Midler this. He is actively involved in our lives every day, and he comes after us. He pursues us. There's a famous pastor theologian named Martin Luther, and the Lutheran Church was named after him, and he referred to the Holy Spirit as the hound of heaven, and not in a derogatory way, but in the sense that God kept hounding him. God wouldn't leave him alone. God chases us, and he pursues us. So we have this story of Jonah, and little summary. God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh, go to the east. Jonah gets on a boat and tries to travel as far west as he possibly can, to get away from God, to get away from his ministry, to get away from what God told them to do. God sends the storm. They think they're going to drown. They find out it was Jonah's fault. And Jonah says to the other sailors, who actually seem to be noble, good guys who are trying to do the right thing, you got to throw me in the water. They throw Jonah overboard. And he ends up, as you know, being swallowed by the fish. And as I mentioned last week, people get hung up on the fish. How could that really happen to a person? There are documented cases of it happening. In modern times, someone swallowed and then they survived. But as I mentioned last week, if we're Christians, we believe in a God-man who lived on this earth and died and came back from the dead and then ascended to heaven. And you know what ascended means, right? He's Superman'd to heaven. We believe in miracles. So I have no problem with the fish, okay? And the fish was used by God, was showing us his power over everything, over all creation. God could have sent a boat, but he decided to send a fish because he gets to do whatever he wants. So we have that story. And now we come to Jonah inside of the fish. And most people think, and most board books for little kids get it wrong. They think that inside the fish, Jonah prayed, please help me get out of this fish. But that's actually not what we read he prayed. He actually thanked God for sending the fish to save him from drowning. And you're going to see that in a second. I'm not lying. It's in there. You're going to see that in a second. So being under the water, you know, even though he told the sailors to throw me in the water, he was, as any of us would be, that is frightening, to be in the open sea. I think every person here has probably had one nightmare in their life, at least one, about drowning, about being in water. You can't get out of the situation. It is a human fear that we have. He was sinking down, and here's what he said. So this is chapter 2 of Jonah. And it said, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Right? He's happy about being in the fish. Maybe he's not happy. He's thankful that the fish was sent, that he can breathe. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for your help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. One thing I want to say there, he says, you hurled me into the depths. But didn't the sailors throw him into the depths? Yep. But God is sovereign. If you spend a lot of your time worried about what other people are saying and doing to you and being resentful, that's going to hurt you. Remember that what's happening in your life is because God is sovereign. So Jonah recognized this. You hurled me into the depths and into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. And what does that mean, to look again to your holy temple? That means to look to God. His holy temple is where God resides. So he looked to God. He turned to God in his dark place, and God answered his prayer, and he responded in a very strange way. He sent a fish to swallow him. And he then repeats the same concept. So verses 2 through 5, he says this one thing, and then in the next 3 or 4 verses, he says the same thing again. So he goes back and he says, the engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head, to the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Again, he says, so it's kind of a repetition. He says, I prayed, I looked to you. Are you thankful for what you have? So Jonah at this point is stuck inside of a smelly fish, and he's thankful for what he has. Are you thankful for what you have? Or do you want more? Do you only praise God when everything's going well? Are you thankful for what he has done for you? Do we only praise God when our prayers are answered exactly the way we want? Or do we ever praise God that we anticipate him answering our prayers? And that we're thankful for where we are, and we know that he has plans for us. And here's the thing about Jonah. Jonah's in this predicament because of his own disobedience. It's his fault, the whole thing. And I'll tell you what, I was in that jail cell for one night. It was my fault. That's on me. What's ironic about this passage is the prophet was disobedient. The fish did what he was told. Just, I don't know how relevant it is. It just struck me this week that the fish actually did what God said, swallow the guy. Moving on here. So the conclusion of this prayer in this chapter, he says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Nice picture there at the end. But we have this statement, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. When you cling to an idol, and you know the men on the boat were praying to these idols, and nothing was happening. Their situation wasn't resolved. But when they turned to the Lord, things got done. But for us in our lives, we also have idols. And I talked about this when we were in 1 John. You can make your work an idol. That can become the most important thing in your life. You can make your family an idol. And by the way, nothing wrong with work and family. But anything that's more important than God, that becomes the center of your life, is what we should be doing. That's an idol. We should be looking to God. Where do you go for? Where do you go in hard times? Who do you turn to? Where do you turn? Do you turn to a person? Do you turn to the internet? Or do you turn to God? We shouldn't turn to other things first. We should turn to God first, because God has the answers. And it says here, he says, but I, with shouts of grateful with grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. And sacrifice to you means worship you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. So here's the other part of this. It's that no one else can do this for you. No one else can turn to God for you. Your parents can raise you a certain way, and people can talk to you, and your pastor can talk to you, and other people can talk to you. But eventually, you got to say, Lord, I turn to you. I believe in your salvation. I trust in you. Salvation is from the Lord. That's the big point today. Salvation is from the Lord. But one other thing I want to show you here is that God saves sinners. He saves selfish people. And we're going to read as we go on, Jonah's not fixed. Jonah's still broken, like you and me. He still has bad ideas and bad thoughts. And you could make a case that Jonah's a racist. I'm just going to say that. He hates people from Nineveh. He doesn't want them to be saved. Or you can give it whatever name you want. But Jonah's still got stuff that God is working on inside of him. But even in spite of that, God saves him. And I want you to think about that. God saves disobedient people who are broken, who are running from the Lord. That's why we need a Savior. But I don't want you to think, I've done too many bad things, I've run too many times, I've failed, I've done this or I've done that, and God wouldn't forgive me. Jonah's not the best example of an obedient prophet, yet God blessed him. Yet God loved him. His grace was upon him. And I think about it from our perspective, is that we shouldn't just turn to God when we need something. I mean, you certainly can do that, but that's not really the way God wants us to be, because we're in relationship with him. How would you feel about a person who only came to you when they needed something? And you may have people like that in your life. You get tired of that, right? Thankfully, God doesn't get tired of things. And God is forgiving and he's gracious. But we should be thankful through good times, through tough times, through all the times. And we should remember that we're in a relationship with God. And I'd like to read to you from another psalm. It's Psalm 103. It's the one that begins, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, bless his holy name. But down in verse 10, he says this, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Have you confessed your sin? It's gone. It's not held against you. I'll tell you what, that night in the jail cell and that arrest, I am forgiven. I can talk about it, and I'm not proud of it, but I've been forgiven for doing something wrong. and my sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. Massachusetts Standard Version, wicked far, right? You can't get any farther than the east is from the west. And I'd like to keep on reading here. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. He's the one who created us. And I want you to remember that God is our Father, and it's Father's Day today. We're thinking about this, but think about how you care about and how you love your kids. When your kids disobey, when your kids annoy you, when your kids do things that you don't appreciate, when your kids are in a different place, they've moved away from home or whatever, do you love them any less? And we as human beings, we sometimes hold grudges and we can get petty and things like that. God doesn't get like that. God loves with a perfect love. You think about the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son, the kid who tells his dad, I wish you were dead. He goes away, he spends all of his money, and then he comes back from a distance, and you know, the dad really could have stuck it to him at that point. But in this parable, what does the dad do? He runs to the son and he hugs him and he kisses him and he holds a feast. When you come running back to God after you've sinned, there's joy in heaven, it says. There is joy in heaven when a sinner returns. So here's what I want to just finish up with today. Maybe you're in a dark place. Maybe you have been in a dark place. My guess is we're all going to be in dark places at different points in our life. Turn to God. Salvation is from the Lord. He has the answer. He does not forget. He does not deny his love. You are his child. Salvation is from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can read this scripture today. We thank you that you saved Jonah's life. And I thank you that you saved the lives of the people here. You've given us eternal life. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't let the storms in our life overwhelm us and overpower us. I pray instead that you would send deliverance, that you would bring us back, and that you would enable us to give you honor and glory no matter what our situation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.